came to Ezekiel and said, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand."
Welcome to Double Portion Inheritance with Maria Merola, brought to you by DoublePortionInheritance.com. Now, Maria Merola.
Good evening, Mishpokah, friends, family, and Messiah. Tonight is November 20th, 2014, and this is going to be my last radio show for the next couple of months as I am in the process of packing up and moving from Virginia to Sacramento, California. Now, some of you may be wondering why I am moving. Well, unless you didn't listen to last week's program, you may not know this already, but I got married on August 29th, 2014 to a wonderful man named Gary Wald from Sacramento. Now, Gary and I have been living apart since September 9th. After the honeymoon was over, he flew back to Sacramento. And in the meantime, I've been packing and trying to sell things on Craigslist and trying to make my way to Sacramento, California. I am in a lease. I'm renting a two-bedroom house, and that lease expires on January the 1st. Gary is coming here on December 17th to help me move out of my current home. And then I'm going to be putting some things in storage because we simply cannot afford to ship my belongings across the country. Beloved, I've been doing my best to sell everything I own, but people aren't buying things right now. I guess it's just the bad time of year to be selling things. I've whittled it down to just the bare basics like my shoes and clothes, boxes of clothes and books, kitchen utensils, kitchen appliances, that type of thing. I don't have any furniture items, but even though I have only the bare basics to fill up a 10-foot by 10-foot cube of boxes, even that is going to cost $2,500 to ship across the country. The lowest quote I've been able to get is about $2,000. So we are in financial need, and so if you would like to help with my move to Sacramento so that I can finally be with my husband, go to my website, DoublePortionInheritance.com. Go to the Donate tab, and there you will see the account that I set up at GoFundMe.com. And you are welcome to help donate so that I can finally move to Sacramento to be with my husband. Now, Gary's going to be here with me, helping me move out of my current home. And then I'm staying behind for another month until about February the 1st. I need to wrap up some loose ends, close my bank account, that type of thing. And I'm going to start traveling across the country in the month of February. And I'm going to be available for speaking engagements in the month of February and March. Now, if I take the more direct route, which will take me through the following states, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, and then finally directly to Sacramento. If I take that direct route, I will be available to speak in those states. Let me repeat them. Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Wyoming, Utah, Nevada, and then finally Sacramento. Now, I may end up taking the more southern route, depending on the weather. And if I take the more southern route on Interstate 40, I will be traveling through these states: Virginia, Tennessee, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Amarillo, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Arizona, and then finally Southern California. So if you are interested in having me come and speak at your congregation or your fellowship, just email me at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com to see if I am available. Okay, so if you would like the flash drive bracelet that I'm offering right now, you can write to me at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com. Make sure you write in the subject line, flash drive bracelet. This flash drive bracelet includes 65 of my ebooks, my song, Children of Promise, 3 spiritual warfare prayers, and also the latest ebook entitled Resurrection of a Promise, the story of Maria Marola and Gary Wald. I am also including the wedding ceremony that Gary and I wrote, which is an in-depth teaching, and you're welcome to use this wedding ceremony for your own wedding or PowerPoint presentation. So for a minimum donation of $70 to this ministry, I will send you that flash drive bracelet. It has Father's name on it, Yahuwah in English, and it also has it in Paleo Hebrew pictograph letters. And make sure you write in the subject line, flash drive bracelet. If you're interested in having me come and speak at your congregation, write in the subject line, speaking engagement, so that I won't miss your email. I'm also going to be putting that information at my website at the events tab. You just go to the events tab and I'll list all the states that I'm going to be traveling through, and I will be putting up a calendar so that you'll know my availability. Also, concerning the flash drive bracelet, if you would like to get a picture of what that looks like, go to my store tab at doubleportioninheritance.com. Go to the store tab and you'll be able to view a picture of the flash drive bracelet so you can see what that looks like. Okay, so I am going to be in Virginia through the month of January trying to, you know, wrap up loose ends. My husband's going to have to be back in Sacramento by January the 6th. He has to be back at work, and I'm going to be traveling across the country, making my way across slowly as I stop through different states to speak at different congregations. So now's the time to email me at doubleportioninheritance@gmail.com and see if I'm available for a booking. All right, so I would like to share my story with you. I know that many of you heard the interview last week with Mark David Smith. He interviewed my husband, Gary, and I. And Gary and I have written our story in a blog. And the reason why we wrote the story is because in Habakkuk chapter 2, Yahuwah told Habakkuk to write the vision. In Habakkuk 2:2, it says, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. It will not tarry. You see, Habakkuk was told to write the vision, and that's what Gary and I did. We wrote the vision. Both of us have had prophetic dreams and many prophetic words leading up to our wedding day, and so I would like to encourage those of you who have been given a very special promise. Perhaps you've been praying and you've been waiting for a very long time, and it seems as if there's been delays, and it seems as if your prayers are not being answered, they're not being heard. Well, I would like to encourage you not to give up. And so I encourage you to go to the blog, and it's at the top of my website. If you go to the tab that says Media, look under Maria's Blogs. You will see that at the very top of the page. That's the very first blog there, Resurrection of the Promise, the testimony of Maria Marola and Gary Wald. But now before I share the testimony, I would like to digress just a moment and share with you the truth about divorce and remarriage. You see, beloved, there are many people who have been put in unnecessary condemnation because of mistranslated words in the scriptures. For instance, in the Hebrew Old Testament, we call the Tanakh, there are two different words that are used there, but the English translators have used these words interchangeably as if they are the same word, and they are not. The two words are shalach. Shalach means to send away or put away. And the other Hebrew word is keritut, which means to sever the bond of marriage with a legal divorce decree or a legal document. In Malachi 2:16, the English translators have inaccurately translated the word there as divorce, but it doesn't say that in Hebrew. It says that Yahuwah hates putting away. Now, we've often heard people quote that as if it says God hates divorce. You hear people say that all the time, God hates divorce. It doesn't say that in Hebrew. It says he hates putting away. And the reason why is because there were men who would put their wives away, but they wouldn't make it legal with a divorce decree. And we are told in Deuteronomy 24 that if a man finds some uncleanness in his wife and he has a legitimate reason to put her away, he must make it legal with a written divorce decree. And so some of these men weren't doing that. They weren't making it legal. And so that left the woman in limbo and she was unable to remarry. But in Deuteronomy 24, we're told that if the man puts his wife away and he gives her a divorce decree, a written divorce certificate, she may go and become another man's wife. Now, she may never go back to the husband that divorced her, for that would be an abomination, but she's allowed to go and be another man's wife. So, why would there be a contradiction between Deuteronomy 24 and Malachi 2:16? Well, it's because the English translators have mistranslated the word. Now, in the King James Version in Malachi 2:16, they get it right. The King James Version accurately translates the word as put away instead of divorce. And now, in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 5 and also Matthew 19, there are two Greek words, once again, being used in the New Testament in the Brit Hadashah. These two Greek words are apuolo. Apuolo means to send away, to separate. And then the word for divorce in Greek is apostosion. So you see, when Messiah was talking to the Pharisees, they inquired of him and they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? And he goes on to explain that if a man marries a woman who has been put away, he is committing adultery. But the English translators mistranslate that word as if it says divorce, and it doesn't say divorce. It says if the man marries a woman who's been put away. In other words, she's still legally married. She's separated from her husband, but she's not legally divorced. So that's what the word says in the original text. It says that if a man marries a woman who's put away, he's committing adultery. It doesn't say if he marries a divorced woman, he's committing adultery. You see, that would contradict what is written in Deuteronomy 24. Okay, so Paul, Shaul, even says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says that if the unbelieving spouse wants to depart, let him depart, for a brother or a sister is not bound in such cases. So it doesn't matter if your spouse professes to have faith in Messiah. He says, by your fruits, by their fruits, you shall know them. If they have rotten fruit and they are divorcing you against your will, they are breaking the covenant and they are committing adultery, yes, they are not considered a believer. It doesn't matter what the profession of their lips is. They are showing that they're not a true believer. And so Shaul, Paul says that if the unbeliever wants to depart, let him depart, for we are not bound in such cases. The believing spouse is not bound. That means that if you're not bound, you are free to remarry. And why did I bring this up? Well, Gary and I both have been married twice. In both of my two former marriages, both of my ex-husbands committed adultery. They were both drug and alcohol addicted, and they were both abusive men, and both men divorced me against my will. I continued to pray and intercede for the restoration of these two marriages, but they refused. And the same thing happened to my husband, Gary. Both of his ex-wives committed adultery, and both of his ex-wives divorced him against his will. And so Gary and I both have been the victim of an unwanted divorce on two different occasions. Now we are both in our third marriage, And this is the marriage that Yahuwah has brought together by his Ruach, by his Spirit. You see, back in 2001, I prayed and asked Heavenly Father to give me a prophetic dream. I wanted Yahuwah to reveal my husband to me in a dream before I would even meet him in person. And that's exactly what happened. I had a dream on August 18th, 2001, on my 41st birthday, and I was shown in a dream that I was going to get married and I was going to meet my husband at a prophetic conference that I would later on be speaking at some time in the future. Well, that dream came to pass in fine detail exactly 13 years later in August of 2014. I got married to Gary Wald and I met him for the first time on August 27th, 2014, just like the dream. 2 days later, I married him at the conference. So I want to tell this story because I want to encourage those of you who maybe have lost hope and have lost faith in a special promise that Yahuwah has given you. And I want you to be encouraged in your faith. So you see, back in 1996, I received a wonderful teaching on CD by the late David Wilkerson of Times Square Church in New York City. This teaching is entitled Death of a Promise, and it has been by far one of the most impacting teachings that I've ever heard in my entire life. I must have listened to this three-part teaching over and over again until I could recite the teaching verbatim. I even memorized David Wilkerson's voice inflections on certain words and phrases. My two sons, Elijah and Jeremiah, were ages 12 and 14 at the time, and they had this teaching forever etched into their brains as they sat in the back seat of our 1994 GMC Jimmy while I drove and listened again and again. This teaching is still available on YouTube, and I would highly recommend it for anyone who has suffered disappointment over a promise that they have received from Yahuwah. Well, you see, the basic premise of this teaching is that Yahuwah will often give each one of us a special promise, but he will always put a sentence of death on that promise first before he can resurrect the promise at a later time. He does this in order to teach us to trust in him instead of in the promise itself. You see, Yahuwah knows that in our weak human nature, we have a tendency to make the object of our affection, which is the promise, into an idol. And so he has to make sure that our focus is completely upon him before he can grant us the desires of our heart. Well, for me, that desire, that thing that I asked Yahuwah for in prayer, was that he would bring me his choice for a husband. Now, I had already made two mistakes previously in marrying men who had issues with substance abuse, adultery, and physical as well as mental abuse. Now, it was the year 1997, and I was going through an unwanted divorce again. After my second husband divorced me in 1997, I began asking the Heavenly Father to show me if it was his will to bring me a husband who would truly love me as Messiah loves his assembly. The principles that I had learned from Death of a Promise, the teaching by David Wilkerson, sustained me as I waited 17 years for my promise to be resurrected. You see, my constant prayer was this: Heavenly Father, I want to be like Rebecca. I don't want to make another mistake by marrying the wrong man. And so this time, would you please show this man to me in a dream before I meet him in person? I want to be like Rebecca in the same way that she knew she was to marry Isaac before she met him in person. You see, what struck me about Rebecca was that she was busy doing the work of the kingdom as she was watering her father's sheep. You see, watering her father's sheep was symbolic of sharing the word of Yahuwah with the sheep of his pasture. Rebecca was not searching for a husband. She was busy watering the sheep and doing kingdom work when along came Eleazar, Abraham's servant. You see, Eleazar prayed to Elohim, and he said in Genesis 24:44, verse 46. Now, this is my paraphrase. He said, "Let the first woman who offers to water my camels be the one whom Yahuwah has appointed for my master, Abraham's son, Isaac. You see, when Rebekah offered to water the camels, Eliezer knew that she was the one whom Yahuwah had chosen for Yitzhak, or Isaac. Now, Rebekah introduced Eliezer to her family and gave him lodging to sleep and plenty of food for his camels also. When Eliezer explained to Rebekah's family about the way that he had prayed and how he had been chosen by Yahuwah, they gave her the option to go with this man to become the wife of Yitzhak, or Isaac. They asked her if she wanted to go with the man, and she said yes to becoming Yitzhak's wife, even though they had never met in person and neither of them knew what the other looked like. Rebekah's faith really impressed me many times as I read this story in Genesis 24. I wanted Yahuwah to do the same thing for me as he had done for Rebekah. I asked him to show me my husband in a dream before I even met him in person so that I would not be fooled by an imposter. You see, my first husband, David, had been a drug addict, and later on, during our marriage, he turned to Satanism, and he ultimately left me for another woman. He was also very physically and mentally abusive. And then my second husband, who I met at a Christian church, started off seemingly like a genuine believer, but then he fell away and got back into alcoholism, and he also was abusive as well, and he finally got involved with a married woman in the church that we were attending, and he left me for this married woman. So, you see, I've had two bad marriages in the past, and I knew that if Yahuwah wanted to bring me a third husband, he would have to really show me in a dream so that I would not be fooled, because I didn't want to end up in another hurtful marriage like I had in the past. So Yahuwah did answer that prayer, and on August 18th, 2001, on my 41st birthday, he gave me a prophetic dream, and he showed me my husband in a dream. The night before my 41st birthday, as I was falling asleep, I prayed and I asked Yahuwah to reveal my husband to me. This is the dream that I had the following morning on my birthday. In this dream, I was at a prophetic conference of some kind, and it was being held in what looked like a ballroom in a hotel on the main floor. In this dream, I was the keynote speaker at this conference. Now, at this time that I had this dream, I was running a full-time daycare business in my home, and I had not yet entered into full-time ministry. And so for me to be the keynote speaker at a prophetic conference at that particular time seemed out of the realm of possibility for me. And so in this dream, I realized that I was speaking at this prophetic conference in the ballroom of a hotel. Now, at the end of my lecture in this dream, there were people approaching me with questions, and they were waiting for a chance to speak with me. Off to the side, out of my peripheral vision, was a man waiting to speak to me, but I was unable to speak to him because there were people lined up to speak with me. And so then, tired of waiting, the man went to his hotel room. Somebody, it may have been the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey, did you see that man who was standing over there? He was waiting for a chance to speak with you. He said, Yah spoke to him that you are meant to be his wife." Okay, I'm going to stop right here, and we'll be right back after this short commercial break. I'm going to continue telling you the story when we come back. Okay, so before the commercial break, I was explaining the dream that I had back in 2001. So let me start from the beginning. You see, the night before my 41st birthday, as I was falling asleep, I prayed and I asked Yahuwah to reveal my husband to me in a dream. And this is the dream that I had on the following morning on my birthday. I was at a prophetic conference of some kind being held in what looked like a ballroom in a hotel on the main floor. In this dream, I was the keynote speaker at this conference. Well, at this time, I had this dream. I was running a full-time daycare business in my home, and I had not yet entered into full-time ministry. So for me to be asked to be the keynote speaker at a conference seemed out of the realm of possibility. At the end of my lecture, there were people approaching me with questions, and they were waiting for a chance to speak with me. Off to the side, out of my peripheral vision, was a man waiting to speak to me, but I was unable to speak to him because there were people lined up to speak with me. Then, tired of waiting, the man went to his hotel room. Somebody, I think it might have been the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, tapped me on the shoulder and said to me, "Hey, did you see that man who was standing over there? He was waiting for a chance to speak with you. He said Yah spoke to him that you are meant to be his wife." When I heard this, I was surprised, and I said to myself, "Oh, okay, well, let me go see if I can find him." Next, I found myself walking down a long hallway of what seemed to be the same hotel. As I walked down this long hallway, I was aware of the many doors to my right and to my left. I knew that in each room were men and women staying there who were attending the conference. I instinctively knew which room this man was in. I went to the end of the hallway, to the very last door, and I knocked on it. The man opened the door, and he looked at me with disappointment on his face. His facial expression seemed to be saying, "You ignored me and made me wait." I said to him, "Somebody downstairs told me that you wanted to talk to me. They said that you heard from Yah that I am to be your wife." He nodded his head and said yes, but his countenance still seemed sad and disappointed. Then I said to him, "The answer is yes, I will marry you." At this point, we kissed and we were suddenly engaged. I fell in love with him as soon as I realized that he was the man Yah had handpicked for me to marry. I had always been attracted to men who were at least 6 foot tall or taller, and I was aware that this man was very tall and that he was younger than me. For many years following this dream, I had attended various conferences, but I was never asked to be one of the speakers, much less the keynote speaker. It wasn't until the year 2007 that Yahuwah called me out of the workplace. He called me out of the corporate world, and he said to me that he wanted me to be in full-time ministry. And so that is where it started. I began being invited to speak at conferences back in the year 2008. But I was not the keynote speaker at any of these conferences that I was invited to until August of 2014. The most recent conference that I spoke at, that's the one where I met my husband, Gary. And so that dream did come to pass. Now, along the way, there was a lot of discouragement. And this kind of reminds me of Abraham and Sarah. You see, Abraham and Sarah, they got impatient and they became discouraged as they waited for 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled in their lives. Now, I only had to wait for 13 years, but still, 13 years is a very long time. In the meantime, on February the 23rd, 2008, I attended a conference at a congregation locally here in my town, and it happened to be on Purim, as we read in Esther 9:26, the holiday called Purim. And the reason why that was so significant is because Yahuwah had been speaking to me about Esther. And he told me that I would be like Esther. You see, her name means hidden. The name Esther means hidden. That she would be hidden from her husband. That she would know who her husband is. And she went to stay at the palace of King Ahasuerus. She was being prepared for 12 months. She was being beautified and prepared. She knew that he would be her husband, but she didn't meet him face to face until 1 year later. And I remember reading this in Esther 2:12, that Esther had 12 months of preparation, and I knew that I too was going to have 12 months of preparation. So here on February the 23rd, 2008, it was Purim, and I attended a conference. And on my way to this conference, I prayed and I said in the car, I said, "Father, if you still are planning to bring me a husband, show me. Please show me." Well, that night, I attended this conference and there was prophetic ministry going on. There was a woman there who prophesied over me, and this is what she said. She said, "Maria, I hear the Father say if you were a state, you'd be Missouri, the show me state, because you keep on asking him, show me, show me. But the Father says, daughter, I've already shown you, and what I've promised you is going to come to pass." And then she went on to say, "Some things you are just going to have to take it by faith. You are going to have to stop trying to figure it out. You can't work it out with all of your statistics. You are just going to have to believe that what Father says is really going to happen. Well, that woman read my mail. I knew when she said that this was a word from Yahuwah, because that night on my way to this conference, I prayed in my car and I said, Father, show me. And this woman said that if you were a state, you'd be the state of Missouri, the show me state. So that was clear confirmation. And then a couple months later, in May of 2008, I was studying the book of Esther, and I stumbled upon Esther 2:12. And as I read it, I realized that the words were literally leaping off the page at me. And this is what it said. It said, now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. You see, at this time it was being shown to me that I would be like Queen Esther in the way that I was going to meet my future husband. Yahuwah showed me that I would know who he is for a full year, but he would not know who I was. I would be hidden from him. You see, Esther's name means hidden, and that's exactly what happened. I knew that Gary was going to be my husband for a full year before he knew it. You see, it had been shown to me in a dream on February the 23rd, 2013, exactly 5 years later from the prophetic word that I had at the conference where I was told that I was like the state of Missouri. That's when I had the dream that Gary proposed to me. So for a full year, I knew Gary would be my husband, but it wouldn't be until January of 2014 that Gary finally knew that I would be his wife. So for a full year, I was hidden from him. I knew that he was going to be my husband, but he did not know that I was going to be his wife. And so during this time, I began in 2008 to study about essential oils, and I did start to make homemade body butter and massage oil using myrrh. And I began to do exactly what Queen Esther did. I began to prepare myself with oil of myrrh. And so what I understood about the myrrh is that the prophetic significance of myrrh is it has to do with death. In other words, death of a promise. In ancient times, myrrh was used as an embalming fluid. And so myrrh is symbolic of death to the old selfish nature. And so Esther had 6 months of preparation with myrrh, oil of myrrh, which symbolized death to the old self. And then another 6 months with sweet odors, which I believe symbolizes resurrection. And so for the first 6 months after I had this dream in February of 2013, which happened to also land on Purim, when I had that dream for the first 6 months, it was total death to the promise. Gary was dating somebody else, and I found out about it on Facebook, and I was very upset. And then finally, 6 months later, around October of 2014, that relationship was over, and Gary began calling me again. And from that point moving forward, the promise began to resurrect. And so the prophetic significance of myrrh is it has to do with death of a promise, and it is used as an incense. And remember, incense is like prayer. We read in Revelation 8, 3 through 4, the prayers of the saints is like incense. And so as I prayed and fasted for my future husband, Gary, that typified the 6 months of myrrh. In other words, death to self, because I had to die to my own selfish desires. I had to believe in the promise, even though in the natural, it looked hopeless. It looked impossible. And so from February 2013 on Purim, it was February the 23rd, 2013, and this was Purim. It was exactly the 5-year anniversary of when I received that prophetic word about the state of Missouri. I had that prophetic word also given to me on Purim. And here it was, the 5-year anniversary of when I had received that word about the state of Missouri. And now I had a dream that night. As I prayed, I said, Father, show me if Gary is indeed the man that I'm going to marry. And sure enough, I had a dream that Gary proposed to me, and that was also on Purim. And as I said, the reason why Purim is so significant is because back in May of 2008, it was shown to me that I would be like Esther. Esther's name means hidden. I was shown that I would remain hidden from my future husband, that I would know who he is, but he would not know who I was. And of course, Gary and I were separated by 2,700 miles of distance. I was on the East Coast and he was on the West Coast. The only contact that we had was through telephone and through Skype, but we had never met in person. And actually, I was hidden from Gary for that whole year. I knew he would be my husband, but he did not know that I would be his wife. And so during that time, Gary was dating somebody else. The first 6 months that I found out that Gary was my husband through this dream, that was the period of myrrh, because myrrh typifies death to self. During this time, I had to agree to keep on praying for him, even though I didn't want to. I remember I complained about it. I said, "Father, I don't want to pray for this man." I was afraid of putting my heart out there on the line and being disappointed again. I was afraid to invest my heart in prayer for this man and be disappointed. But that is what myrrh signifies. It signifies death to self. And in Revelation 8:3-4, we read that the prayers of the saints is like incense. So as I fasted and prayed for Gary, I knew that I was preparing myself with 6 months of myrrh. And then finally, by October of 2013, things did not work out with Gary and that other woman, and so he began to call me again. That's when the promise began to be resurrected again, and that typifies the 6 months of sweet odors. So you see, Esther had 6 months of oil of myrrh, which symbolized death to self, and then 6 months of sweet odors, which symbolized resurrection. And the promise began to resurrect in October 2013 when Gary began calling me again. And so from that point moving forward, our relationship began to grow. And so finally, by January of 2014, Gary had a dream, and he knew from the dream that we were meant to be married. And so it would be a whole year later that Gary knew that I would be his wife. Now, during this time, when we first realized that we were going to be married to one another, Gary and I began to pray. And one of the things that we prayed about is we said, "Father, if this is really of you, if you want us to get married, show us when you want us to get married." Well, during this time, as we were praying back in January of 2014, I received a phone call that I was invited to speak at a conference in August of 2014. Now, what's interesting about this is that I realized after being invited to speak at this conference that Gary and I would be probably meeting for the first time at this conference. And that's when I said to Gary, I said, "Gary, I just remembered I had a dream back in 2001 that I met my husband for the first time at a prophetic conference that I was speaking at." Now, when I was invited to speak at this conference in August of 2014, I would be the keynote speaker. It was told to me that I was the only speaker. And so this was the first time that I'd ever been asked to be the keynote speaker at a conference. But to make matters even more interesting, I found out that the conference was going to be held in a hotel at a Holiday Inn in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I saw the ballroom to this hotel on the internet. When I saw the ballroom, I immediately recognized the ballroom from the dream that I had had back in 2001. I remembered the chandelier in the middle of the room, and I remember saying to Gary, "That's the same ballroom where I met my husband in the dream." And so sure enough, that dream did come to pass. I met Gary for the very first time on August 27th, 2014, and then 2 days later, we were married on August 29th, 2014. Now, during this time, as Gary and I were waiting, we received confirmation after confirmation that we were meant to be together. In fact, I'm going to backtrack to June of 2013. You see, in June of 2013, I was quite upset that Gary was dating another woman, and I knew the Father wanted me to pray for him. I knew that I had already been shown in a dream that he was going to be my husband. Gary had already been shown in a dream about me, but he wasn't interpreting the dream the same way that I was interpreting the dream. So here it was, June 13th, 2013, and I remember I was praying specifically, and I said, "Father, if Gary is truly the man I'm going to marry, will you please show me? Just show me. And there I was praying that same prayer again. Show me, because I was discouraged. I saw that he was dating somebody else. And in the natural, I was having a difficult time believing in the promise. Even though I knew that Yahuwah had spoken to my heart, I was still doubting. I was still in discouragement. And so the next day, after I prayed this prayer, I said, Father, if Gary is the man I'm going to marry, please show me. And a friend of mine who lives in the state of Missouri called me the next day after I prayed that prayer. And she said, Maria, I had a dream about you last night that you got married to Gary. And this woman and her husband were mutual friends with Gary and I on Facebook. So when she called me to tell me that she had a dream that Gary and I had gotten married, I knew it was a dream from Yahuwah because she was from the state of Missouri, the show me state. And the day before that, I was saying, Father, show me if Gary's the one. And suddenly I remembered the prophetic word that I had received back in February 2008, where this woman prophesied over me and said, if you were a state, you'd be Missouri, the show me state. Because that night I was praying the very same way. I was saying, Father, show me if you still have a husband for me. And so that was really interesting. And then finally, in August of 2013, my friend Belinda, who lives in Florida, she operates in a lot of prophetic dreams. She called me and she said, Maria, I had a dream about you. And in this dream, she said, I was calling you Sarah. Now, when she said this, I knew exactly what the dream meant because you see, in March of 2013, as I was in prayer one day, the Father spoke to me and he said that Gary and I were going to be like Abraham and Sarah. In other words, just like Abraham and Sarah, they inherited a promise when it seemed hopeless, things seemed impossible. And so I understood when my friend Belinda said that I was being called Sarah in the dream, that she was calling me Sarah, I knew what the dream meant, that I was going to inherit the promise in spite of what it looked like in the natural. And then finally, by November 30th, 2013, my same friend, this same friend Belinda from Florida, calls me again. And she said, Maria, I had another dream about you. And in this dream, you were asking me, Belinda, when am I getting married? And in this dream, Belinda said, 9 months from now. Well, if you do the math, 9 months from November 30th, 2013 takes you to August 30th, 2014. And so I knew ahead of time that I was going to be getting married by August of 2014. Well, lo and behold, when I was invited to speak at this conference in January 2014, I received the phone call. The conference originally was supposed to take place at Passover, and then it got moved to June, and then it got moved again to August. And we tried to make it the first week of August, but the hotel couldn't book us. We tried to make it the second week, and they couldn't book us. Finally, we tried to make it the third week of August, and still they couldn't book us. And we were locked into only three dates, August 27th, 28th, and 29th for this conference. By the time it was all said and done, we realized that that was exactly 9 months from Belinda's dream. That's when Gary and I knew that we were meant to get married at this conference. And so by January 2014, Gary had a prophetic dream. He knew from this prophetic dream that we were meant to be married. And then finally, by May of 2014, Gary had another confirmation. You see, he was attending a Sabbath meeting, and there he was reunited with a married couple that he hadn't seen in 3 years. This married couple, their name is Valerie and Joseph. They hadn't been there in 3 years, but Valerie, not knowing that Gary and I had been talking to one another, she said to Gary, Gary, whatever happened to that girl named Maria Marola? I used to be friends with her on Facebook. Well, Gary seemed a little shocked that my name came up, and so he said to her, why are you bringing up Maria's name? And Valerie said, because I've always believed that you and Maria were meant to be together. And of course, she had no idea that Gary and I were engaged to be married at this point. She didn't even know we'd been talking to one another. And so it was interesting because there was another confirmation. When Valerie and I finally talked on the phone a few days later, she informed me that she, too, was from the state of Missouri. So that was like a double whammy, a double portion confirmation from the state of Missouri, which was quite interesting for Gary and I. And so by July of 2014, as we were approaching our wedding day, there was a man on Facebook who was interested in me. And when I told him that I was engaged to be married, he was trying to sabotage my future wedding with Gary. In fact, he began to email me with all these false prophetic words, and he told me that I was to break things off with Gary, and he told me that I was meant to be married to him instead. Of course, I was furious that this man was trying to falsely prophesy over me that I was meant to be married to him instead of to Gary. I knew that this was from the enemy, the adversary, Ha-Satan. But the same day that this man was falsely prophesying over me, I received a letter in the mail from a married couple who listened to my radio program. Their name was Cassandra and Eugene. Well, she asked me to call. Cassandra asked me to call her, so I did. And when I called them and I spoke with them, she asked me, she said, "Have you been courting somebody? Have you been courting for marriage?" And somehow she knew in the spirit that I was being courted. And so finally, Cassandra told me that back in 2011, she noticed that Gary was leaving comments for me on Facebook. And she turns to her husband and she said, "That man is courting her by asking her these theological questions on Facebook. And he doesn't even realize that he's doing it." And then she also had a dream that was confirmation that Gary and I were meant to be married to one another. So Gary and I have had multiple confirmations that we were meant to be married. And so I want to encourage you with this, because if you seek Yahuwah with all of your heart and you ask him to give you confirmation, he will give it to you. As a matter of fact, in Joel 2:28, it says that in the last days, he said, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." It says he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. This is Job 33:14. It says, "For Elohim speaks once, yes, twice, yet man perceives it not, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." And so I want to encourage you with this. If you are asking the Father for his will in your life and you are seeking confirmation, don't be afraid to ask for prophetic dreams. He will give them to you. As a matter of fact, as I just read to you in Job 33, it is his desire to give you instructions through prophetic dreams and visions.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast and that you are encouraged in your walk with Messiah through the teaching. To visit Maria's website, visit doubleportioninheritance.com. That's www.doubleportioninheritance.com. This broadcast depends on the love gifts and offerings of listeners like you. To send a donation to Maria's ministry, write Double Portion Inheritance, Maria Merola, P.O. Box 7311, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22404. Or you can donate with the PayPal button at doubleportioninheritance.com. For Maria and all the ministry team at Double Portion Inheritance, may Yah bless you.